This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد أخرج الإمام مسلم في صحيحه عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لما صور الله آدم في الجنة تركه ما شاء الله أن يتركه فجعل إبليس يطيف به ينظر ما هو فلما رآه أجوف عرف أنه خلق خلقا لا يتمالك إمام مسلم collects this hadith on the authority of Anas radiallahu an, who says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and fashioned him and then left him in Jannah for as long as Allah willed to leave him, Iblis came and started to circle him and observe him and study him, because that is how Iblis is. He looks at us, he studies us, he examines us, and he knows us. And so when he realized that Adam alayhi salam was hollow from the inside, he realized that this is a creature that has been created who will not be able to control himself. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with a body and a soul. And this human nafs of ours, this self of ours, its nature is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And the human nafs and the one who fashioned it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah showed it. Allah showed us. He showed us what is right and what is wrong. And so our nature is that we recognize what is right and what is wrong. However, the nature of our nafs is that it has desires that it wants to fulfill. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created with our human nafs a certain inclination to want to fulfill its desires, a certain inclination to evil. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي, that the nature of the nafs is that it constantly commands evil, inclining towards evil. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to do? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want us to do? He wants us to purify that nafs. He wants us to bring that nafs under our control, doing what He has commanded, refraining and restraining from what he has forbidden, not the other way around, where our nafs is controlling us and we have let it on the loose. And so those who call for freedom today are actually calling to slavery. If you hear people calling for freedom, then you have to realize that what they are actually calling to is slavery, because true freedom is not in letting your nafs on the loose to do as it pleases, but rather true freedom is where you take control of your nafs and its desires. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who are successful are those who purify that nafs, and those who are doomed, those who are doomed and will face the punishment of Allah, are those who corrupt their nafs. And so most of us, we land into problems and we land into misery because of our own selves, because we give in to our nafs and its desires and we do not control it. And so when our shahawat intensify, when our natural urges and desires intensify, we do not control that nafs. We do not control our heart. We do not control our gaze, preventing it from looking at haram. When we are angered, we do not control our nafs. We do not control our tongue. We do not control our hands, instead seeking revenge, whatever the cost may be. When we are hungry and we see food and we want to fulfill that craving, we do it even if the food is haram, or even if it leads to overeating. When we are addicted to something, when we have a craving for something and we have been away for it for some time, our nafs, it calls out for that thing. And so we go and we do not control our nafs, and then we fall back into that addiction. When we are in our social circles and our social gatherings, we do not control our tongues. We do not control our nafs and our tongues from al-ghiba, backbiting others, and an-namima, spreading gossip. When we are asked to give generously from our wealth, we do not control the greed of our nafs that is telling us to withhold and not give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but rather to give for the fulfillment of our nafs and its desires. When we look at others around us, when we look at others around us, and if they have been blessed with a certain blessing, we do not control our nafs, and instead we envy others. When we look at others around us, we think we are more superior to them. We do not control our nafs and our heart, and so we despise others. We look down on others. We hold grudges for others. Why? Because our nafs is not in our control. When we sleep late at night and we're all tired, and we hear the alarm buzzing for Salatul Fajr, we turn it off. Why? Because our nafs wants to continue its sleep, its rest. And so our nafs is not in our control, but rather our nafs is controlling us. When we are in salah, when we are in salah, and our mind wanders off, we don't take control of our nafs to bring our thoughts back under our control, to focus on our salah, and to be in a state of khushu'. Instead, we allow our nafs to wander off. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, It all starts with self-control, fighting back against our nafs and its inclination to fulfill its desires and its inclination to evil. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wadh-dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullaha li wa lakum wa lisa'iril muslimina min kulli dhanbin wa khati'ah fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى وراقبوه في السر والنجوى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. My dear brothers and sisters, when we look at the description that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in the Quran for the people of Jannah, and then we look at the description that Allah has given for the people of the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned certain qualities, certain characteristics of each group. And what they used to do in this dunya in order to earn what they earned in the akhirah. What we find is that the people of Jannah were a people who strove hard and put in effort day in, day out. They struggled in this dunya against their nafs and its desires, and they did not give up, and they did not cave in. On the contrary, we find that the people of the hellfire are those who gave in to the desires of their nafs and did not bring it under their control. They did not put up a struggle, but rather they lived a life of leisure, a life in which they relaxed and enjoyed themselves and did not bother to restrain themselves and their nafs. And so, even logically speaking, if we were to think about it, who deserves the reward of Allah and who deserves the punishment of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world and set it upon justice, and the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictates that the people of Jannah are those who strove hard and those who struggled. And the people who deserve punishment are those who did not struggle. They did not put in effort in their lives. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people of Jannah, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That as for those who feared standing before their Rabb, meaning on the Day of Judgment, they feared being brought to account on the Day of Judgment, and they restrained their nafs from following its desires, for them is nothing but Jannah. Their home will be Jannah. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And those who strive hard in our path, they struggle and they strive hard, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will guide them to His ways. Meaning, not only will He guide them to the path leading to Jannah, but all of their ways and everything for them in this dunya will be made easy for them. And so, we need to learn how to bring our nafs under our control. And so among the ways that will help us to bring our nafs under our control is first and foremost to remember. To remember that you are nothing but a slave and a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not a slave of your nafs and its desires. And so, if we were to think about it, Iblis, la'anahu Allah, may the curse of Allah be upon him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to prostrate down to Adam, what did he say? He said, ana khayrun minhu. Khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtahu min teen. I'm better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. Look at how his ego came into play, and his nafs and his self-esteem prevented him from obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to build the Kaaba, and then to pray towards the Kaaba and to bow down and prostrate, Ibrahim alayhi salam, his self-esteem vanished. And he did not say that I am better than rocks and stone. Although yes, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mu'min and the believer is more noble and honorable than even the Kaaba. But when it comes to the commandments of Allah and His prohibitions, this is where the veneration of Allah comes into play, and our egos and our self-esteem and our nafs disappear. Secondly, remind yourself of the consequences of giving in to your nafs and not bringing it under your control. The evil consequences that it results in this dunya before the next. And so, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, dragging another man. And so he said, Ya Rasulullah, this man killed my brother. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked him, did he do that? He said, yes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, وَكَيْفَ قَتَلْتَهُ? What made you to kill him? So the man said, me and him, we were out in the woods and we were cutting a tree. We were cutting it down for firewood. And so we got into an argument and he cursed me. So I took my axe and I hit it on his head. And so look at the evil consequences of not controlling one's anger. Look at what it led to. Thirdly, remind yourself of the rewards. So on the one hand, you have the evil consequences. On the other hand, you have the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who bring their nafs under their control. And so as an example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And race and compete with one another for a Jannah. A Jannah that expands the width of the heavens and the earth. That has been prepared for who? Prepared for the people of taqwa. And so, who are the people of taqwa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. Who are they? They are people who spend of their wealth, both in good times as well as in difficult times. And they are those who restrain their anger. And they are those who pardon and forgive others. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning those who restrain their nafs and their anger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever suppresses his anger while being capable of venting it out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him on the day of judgment in front of all of the creatures and will say to him, these are the hur of Jannah. These are the women of Jannah. Choose whichever of them. Choose whichever of them you want. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning those who restrain their nafs and control two body parts, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever can guarantee for me what is between his jaws, meaning his tongue, and what is between his two legs, meaning his private part, then I will guarantee for him Jannah. Look at the rewards of Allah. All of these are examples of those who restrain their nafs, who restrain their selves and their desires. Fourthly, learn from the lives of the prophets of Allah, the prophets and the messengers, and how they restrained their nafs. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam, being at the prime of his youth, and then being in the position that he was not in a position of advantage. And so he was invited and called to commit zina. But he restrained his nafs and restrained his desires and instead controlled them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also later on in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, another beautiful example, when his brothers came to him and he had gained leadership in Egypt, and they came to him and they did not recognize him. And they left and they came back again with their younger brother Binyamin. And he took him, he seized him. And they said what they said, that if he has stole, then his brother before him, meaning Yusuf alayhi salam, also stole. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about Yusuf alayhi salam? He could have expressed his anger. He could have let it out and said, what are you guys talking about? I am Yusuf. How dare you say that about me? No. فَأَسَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. Yusuf alayhi salam restrained himself. He let it to remain within himself, and he did not let out his secret of who he was. Also, look at the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the many, many examples in his life of how he controlled himself and in many instances controlled his anger. Look at the day in which he went to Ta'if and the people, they rejected him and they injured him, and he came back. And on the way back to Mecca, the mountain, the two mountains, and the angel of the two mountains came to him and said, if you wish, I could take these two mountains and bring them down and destroy these people. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the state that he was in, he did not let his self to control him and allow his anger out of control. And so he said, no, perhaps out of the children of these people, there will come people who will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fifthly, feed your nafs. Feed your nafs with the fuel it needs to reach success. And that is through the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the constant remembrance of Allah both in your heart and upon your tongue. And so, whenever you are in a state in which your nafs is calling you, keep your tongue moist and busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling upon Allah for help, seeking Allah's help, seeking refuge in Allah from shaitan, who is calling us to fulfill our desires. And finally, whatever you do not give up. A man once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about his brother's stomach. And so his brother, he was ill and he had an upset stomach. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Isqihi asalan." Give him honey to drink. So the man, he went and he gave his brother honey to drink. But he was not cured, so he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about the same thing, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advising him with the same thing, saying, "Isqihi asalan," give him honey to drink. The man goes back and the same thing, nothing happens. He comes back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the third time. And this time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Sadaqallahu wa kadhaba batnu akhik, isqihi asalan." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken the truth. Whereas the stomach of your brother lies, give him honey to drink. Allah has spoken the truth when he said in the Quran, "Fihi shifa'un linnas," that in this honey is a cure for people. And here was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man who was convinced of the truth that Allah had revealed, that there is no doubt that in it is cure, and for sure he will be cured. But the point here was, do not give up. The cure will come, but it will come in time. The point is, do not give up. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wattaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun." O you who believe, be patient. And don't only be patient, but endure in patience, persevere in patience. Not only that, ورابطوا, stand guard and fear Allah if you want to attain success. And so what we need to do is that we need to stand guard against our enemy, who recognized our weakness on the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created our father, and he said that this is a creature that cannot control itself. We need to stand guard against shaitan, who knows our weakness. We need to stand guard against him and persevere patiently against our nafs and bring it under our control without giving up. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على نبيكم محمد بن عبد الله كما أمركم بذلك جل ربكم جل في علاه فقال تعالى قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد ورضى اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.